Hello and welcome to our program, That Guy's Mom, today here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. We highly encourage you to read the program description and listen to the past shows to get a full understanding of this amazing story that's touching lives worldwide. So sit back and enjoy the program. Here's Andrea, That Guy's Mom.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today on That Guy's Mom. We're here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom, referring to Matt Mayer, who is currently serving his sentence in prison for aggravated manslaughter. www.themattmayerstory.com. There you can find all sorts of encouragement. In fact, as a chaplain for some of the men who are corrections officers, and one of them brought up that they go there often and read to see, mostly to get encouragement. And to just hear what God is doing and how reminding them just how powerful God is. And you will find great encouragement no matter where you come from in whatever walk of life. Also, these radio shows are archived, and we encourage you to go on iTunes or Fresh Start Broadcasting. And once again, we're just glad you're with us. And today, we're going to talk about those times we find ourselves in where we're, being pushed around. Other people are trying to exert their influence over us in a lot of different ways. And it's a hot topic in schools.
It is, definitely. We're going to talk about bullying today. Now, interesting, Matt wrote a blog recently about the inclination to have a clique in prison. It's almost a given. You have to find somewhere to fit in. Because bullying in that environment is huge. And so, you know, he said, you look around, it's almost like the United Nations of gangs and cliques, and you better find somewhere to fit. He teases that, and he has always been this way, he gets along with everybody, whether you're, a skinhead or someone with long hair, a Muslim, somebody that's, whatever. And so he finds himself kind of gone from clique to clique and talking with these different people. But a lot of weaker people find these groups because they need protection from bullying.
Right.
But that's prison, and you expect that in prison. We are not in prison, and bullying is a very huge, huge topic for us in this country on many levels, right, Scott?
Yes, and in every walk of life and in every profession.
Absolutely.
There's no place exempt from this.
There is no place exempt. I want to tell a couple little stories. Okay, so when Olivia was about 3 years old, we were over at the park, and it's summer, so there's a lot of tourists. And she's sitting on this little play car. And two boys about age 7 and 9, come over and basically tell her to get out. And I'm watching from afar. And Livy gets out. And, okay, so the Italian mafia spirit inside of me.
I was going to say, yeah.
I watched for as long as I could watch, and then I walked over, and I said, excuse me? No way. Livy, get back in that car. I was just not a good example. And the boys looked at me, and I just stared them down, like, where do you get off telling her to move? Afterwards, I said to her when we left, Olivia, never let anyone bully you. Now, the kid's 3. She's looking at me like, what in the heck are you talking about? You try letting some 2 big giant kids tell you where to go. But bullying is alive and well, and it's almost an instinct in certain personalities. It doesn't matter if you're 3, 5, 7. I want to tell you something else that happened. Okay, last night I take Olivia to dance. She's now 6. So she's in a special minis group. And so you have 6-year-olds all the way up to 9 and 10. And I'm watching her through the see-through, what do you call it, the glass,
yeah.
Two-way mirrors.
Two-way mirror, yeah.
She just sees a mirror, but I'm able to see into the room. And I notice she had put her foot up on one of those dance bars, for a ballet move, just in between the instructor giving directions. And I saw some little girl go over and say something. Now I'm watching, and suddenly I saw her get this very downcast look, and the girl started to cross her arms and say more. And I'm watching through the mirror, and I'm thinking, come on, Liv. Don't retreat. Say something back. And instead, Olivia just cowered away and got into a corner like a little wallflower. And I'm behind this two-way mirror, and I'm going, you little runt. What did you just say to her? Well, I never even got to discuss this with her because her daddy came. It's a 2-hour program that particular night, and I left early. But first thing I'm going to do when I see her is I want to know what that little girl said to her. But it got me thinking on this whole topic of bullying, besides the fact that in New Jersey, it's anti-bullying week. And I understand all across the country, this happens all year long at different times of the year. So
right.
I kind of wanted to just bring up, have you ever been bullied? You're a guy. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. There have been times. And let me just kind of give us a framework so you know people can understand, and some of you are going to understand right away. We think a lot of times as bullying is there's this big person picking on this little person. And it's a bigger concept than that, because you can be in an organization.
Oh, absolutely.
And the very authority structure may not even be people, but the very authority structure is one that kind of is authoritative, bullying, pushing. So it's not exclusive. I can tell you it happens in churches. I can tell you that from firsthand. But what I have observed a lot of times is there's always someone who's perceived weaker, or there's always somebody who's a target, whether it's a group or an individual. And when they're targeted, then the politicking, you know, telling people what you want them to know to get what you want to have happen.
Right.
That's politics. So it's somebody trying to exert their influence or their will over another individual.
Yeah.
And sometimes it happens subtly. You know, there have been times when people come and they give you a good idea, and really what they're doing is kind of pumping you up or trying to get you to agree with their side so you'll be on their team. When you maybe hesitate or show some independence, well, then the rubber meets the road and there's some friction.
Yeah.
And for kids, I know watching my own kids, I've done the same thing, you know, watching my kids. And if they get bullied, I mean, it's just like, I want to get out of the car.
Oh,
and
for sure.
I want to, wherever I am. And I've had to learn to really get control before I go off. And so there's this hard line between us as human beings, because we are taught this concept of respect.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also taught to stand up for ourselves and how that, and we can talk about that in the middle in a minute. But I've had times when I've had people try to exert their will or their influence or whatever they wanted over on me or to get me to do what they want me to do.
Well, and look, we're adults. And so people would go, I don't know that that qualifies. But no, it definitely, there are bully adults. And I had a work experience that was like that for a number of years. I felt bullied every day. And that was because the person just ran over me constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go home and I'd feel deflated and resentful. And so many bad attitudes came out of me because I was allowing myself to be bullied. Now, we're adults. So hopefully we have more coping mechanisms than our kids.
That's a big hope, by the way.
Oh, I know. I'm sitting with you, you know.
Yeah, thanks.
But it's not an easy concept, but it's definitely something that is being addressed, at least now, for our kids in a more national way because of some of the incidences that happened. I think back on the Columbine incident. Mm. Now, my kids were in high school at the time of that, and I just remember thinking, seriously, before anybody said anything, and I know those two boys did a terrible, terrible thing, but I remember thinking, I wonder how much they took before they got to that level of madness. And interesting now, because of that Columbine situation, a program was implemented. It's called Rachel's Challenge, and it's now in 48 states. And what it is, it's to inspire like a positive culture, whether it's in the classroom or in the workforce, like we just talked about, or, you know, in the schoolyard, to create a positive culture through a chain reaction of kindness and compassion. So it's almost, instead of just saying about bullying, it's trying to teach kids the basics about paying it forward and being kind and compassionate. Now, I could tell you, when I worked in middle schools all across our county, because I ran an after-school program, I usually had to get there 15 minutes before the bell rang, the final bell. So consequently, I would be in the hallways during this last period of the day. And I can tell you, in every school, I'd see at least one example of some kid randomly getting thrown into a locker, deliberately, you know, just walking by, and he was the kid that was being bullied. And I had seen teachers turn their faces as if they didn't see it. And when I did, and now remember, I'm not even in this school as a full-time employee. I'm coming to run a program. But it would madden me. I'd grab those kids and go, what was that? And so I think oftentimes we had a culture where we turn our heads and go, it's no big deal, that's what kids do. Instead of saying, no, that's not what kids do.
Right.
And that shouldn't be tolerated.
It's sad to think that there's certain conduct that we all of a sudden believe is accepted. And that one of them would be that we would allow kids to think that they can exert their will over someone else.
Yes, absolutely. And it's sad, too, that it has to come to a point where we need to legislate.
Yes.
Some sort of anti-bullying laws.
Once again, we're starting to legislate morality.
Yes.
Which I don't think we've learned from history doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
And but that doesn't mean I have the right answer, except, I have a question. Why do you think it's so hard for people or for kids to stand up for themselves?
Well, obviously, again, because they're kids, and so their coping mechanisms aren't good. And it depends on if kindness and compassion comes natural to them, and they're taught that, how do they handle when out of the blue somebody goes after them? And then the fear factor, you know? Obviously, people that come on strong have an intimidating presence about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so automatically it's going to cause the regular kid to just, you know, flee for cover or to take it. And you know what? We're Christians and we raise our kids Christians. And so, I'd say to you then, I can ask you because you have kids that age. And I know what I said to my kids, but what would you say to your kids if they continually came home and there's someone bullying them and they've tried the Christian, be nice, but it's continuing?
I would tell them to put up with it, and then I'd slip out in the night and go visit this family. No. They have a plan set out in schools to go to an adult, to go to a teacher, to go to the counselor. But I have taught my girls that, number one, they're never to start a fight, but they are to stand up for themselves.
Yes.
See, I was not taught that. I was taught you can't get angry and basically don't ever defend yourself. And so I would shrink away and let people pretty much run over. And I was a doormat for a lot of my life.
Mm.
But I was also very happy-go-lucky. I'm a sanguine, so I'm a people person. I didn't get a lot of that. You know, I do remember when I was a freshman or sophomore, growing up in Idaho, there were some people that were cowboys, and they're real cowboys, trucks, all that, cowboy hats, cowboy boots in school. They wanted to get my brother, and so we were marked, and they were older, and they tried to be intimidating and so forth. And at a football game, it came down to my dad coming out of the stands and getting in their face and telling them, you know, knock it off. I'm not sure that helped.
Right.
But it was definitely a sad situation.
And I know, well, of course I have boys, so it's different, but I totally concur that there comes a point when you stop and say, I'm standing up for myself. And if I have to go down on this, I'm going to go down fighting.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I'm going to get hurt if I don't stand up for myself.
Right.
And I mean, there's a fine line in trying to teach your kids to be a Christian, do the right thing, and then for someone to continually harass them in a way that can become dangerous to them.
And I've tried to help my kids understand, too, and I'm still learning this, that God will fight the battles for
you. True. Yeah.
There are some things that we are not to be a doormat on.
True.
There's some other things that, you know, it's our character that's being developed. It's who we are in Christ that's going to come out. And sometimes people need to see that we're going to stand up and say, listen, as a Christian, I have this value. I have this belief. I'm not going to allow you to do that. You know, the old story was, you know, the bully coming in and stealing your Twinkie or stealing your lunch money. Well, obviously, you know, I would hope my kids would definitely stand up and say no, report it, and so forth. But I think a lot of times we don't stand up for ourselves because we're afraid of the hurt that might happen or the conflict. I mean, nobody likes conflict.
Right, nobody does.
Or we shrink away and we're willing to deal with the hurt we have from being bullied more than we are to address the conflict or the hurt that's coming.
Yeah, but that doesn't change anything. That only makes it worse, right?
Yeah. In fact, for most of us, it causes more hurt and pain that we carry with us. And
yeah,
if you're a powder keg, that's a definition of somebody who just stuffs their emotions, stuffs their emotions, then one day you blow up. And that's when we see some of these traumatic, dramatic things.
Absolutely.
Well, this is a great conversation, a great topic too today. And if you're in a situation and you feel like you're bullied, I know of people that have dealt with court cases and marriages and all sorts of community or relationships, and you feel bullied, stay tuned. We're going to continue to talk about this. And we're really grateful to Fresh Start Broadcasting. You can find them if you're not listening through their website. You can find us, and you can find more shows from them at www.freshstartbroadcasting.com. We'll be right back after the break.
You've been listening to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting, and we'll be right back with more of the program after this brief announcement from one of our sponsors. Have you ever heard of the mustard seed guy? Well, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now imagine the possibilities if you were debt-free. Stress would melt away. Relaxing on Sunday would not have to be second-guessed. There would be time for the family again, and life would all around be more enjoyable. This is what Matthew Lurkey of Tulsa, Oklahoma is striving for. Follow his story as he trades his way out of debt, one item at a time, and starting with just one mustard seed. Matthew was tired of working 60-plus hours a week, not getting to go to church, or see his family. He needed something more. After changing jobs and a drastic pay cut, bills began to mount and credit cards were the only option. So Matthew was asking God for answers, and here's how he felt God responded. Trade your way out of debt, one step at a time, each time improving on what you have. Have faith in me, and I will provide for you. Rely on me wholeheartedly, and I shall care for you. Well, you might ask, what good could come out of all this? Now you can find out and follow this evolving story of faith at www.trademeoutofdebt.com. Again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he trades his way out of debt one step at a time. Once again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he's on his journey. Welcome back to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. So here she is, picking up right where she left off.
Well, welcome back after the break. We are here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom, and we're so glad you joined us on That Guy's Mom. If you would like to learn more, and if you would like to be inspired, we really encourage you to go to the website, www.themattmayerstory.com. And that's M-A-H-E-R. Today we're talking about bullying. And if you find yourself with someone else or an organization, or it could be all sorts of situations, exerting their will over you and pushing you around, well, today's a good day to listen in.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about, what do you think Jesus would do?
Yeah.
You think he ever got bullied?
Yeah, it's a great point, because a lot of what he did, drawing attention to himself, which he didn't do it to himself, but as more people learned of him, there was more detractors and more people that didn't like him.
Yeah, and it's, you know, people often say, to try to diminish the idea that it's not a good idea to respond, particularly churches, it'll be like, well, we were taught to turn the other cheek. Because Jesus did say, turn the other cheek. And there is times when we should be, because we are called to self-sacrifice and compassion and kindness. But that's about overlooking a situation that has nothing to do with bullying. That's covering it. That's saying that's not an abusive situation.
Yeah.
I think we'll see in Scripture that Jesus responds. Sometimes, a lot of times, he drew the line in the sand. Everyone will remember this, maybe from the Passion of Christ, when Jesus is like smacked in the face by one of the guards for answering wrong. And then he responds like, and what was that for? Did I say something wrong?
Yes.
And you're smacking me. Like, he didn't just take it and say, here's my other cheek. Take another swipe at it. Mm-hmm. He responded. And you see, Jesus drew the line in the sand a lot when he was dealing with the self-righteous bullies.
Yeah. And that's a great point to make, that that's the response we need to measure by, is how are you calling them on it?
Yes.
A great statement is, empty trucks make a lot of noise going down the street.
Interesting.
And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I'll say it in a church context, because a lot of times the people making the most noise are the emptiest. Mm. So people I run into who are bullies, they're trying to exert their will, they're trying to get their way, they don't have any content, they're insecure,
yes,
they're immature, But yet they have somehow thought that they have the ability. So here's a man slapping Jesus because he's the guard.
Yeah.
Jesus is handcuffed. You know, and he wasn't the only one standing there. There are other people standing around. He was full of himself.
Yes.
But he was empty.
Yes.
And so he could smack him thinking, hey, I have the right to do this. And that's what we deal with bullies. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes from. And sometimes it does help to remember that most of the people we're dealing with who are bullies, most of the organizations we deal with, even sometimes our own legal system, can be people who don't have a cause.
Yes.
They're empty. They don't have content. And so they're doing everything they can to survive mm-hmm. and keep their position or whatever, and they're willing to walk over anybody to do it.
You know, and of course, our listeners that are regular listeners know that my husband is in the law enforcement community. So I have a lot of respect and regard for law enforcement, and that is police officers, corrections officers. Mm-hmm. However, with Matt being on the other side of this in a prison system, I have become very familiar with a lot of bully corrections officers. And you are absolutely right. Now, that is not the majority, but the ones that are the bullies that truly usurp their power in the wrong way, there's something missing in them.
Yes.
That they need a disjointed, awful display of power over powerless people mm-hmm. for no reason. I'm not saying if you're doing something wrong within that system, the prison system, but I've heard more stories from Matt about abuse. I've seen it, false charges, things like that, that Matt says it more than I say it, so I have to give him credit because I get really agitated, and I'll say to my husband, how do these people even get these jobs? And Matt will be like, just pray for them, Mom. I wish that was my initial response when I hear of these abuses, but it isn't. My response is one day I really want to, you know, address the legislature on some of this wasted money that's being used in prison systems that is really just keeping the problem going, you know, mushrooming because it's not being handled because of incompetent people. But there's no way that you could tell who has these missing things inside of them
right.
when you're hiring them.
Right.
I mean...
Yep.
That could probably never be fixed, and I think I'm just venting as that guy's mom, so you guys will just have to deal with it.
Well, I think it's a good point, because my brother being in law enforcement all his life, and getting to ride with him and be around him and listen to the stories, there is no, and part of the reason I want this brought up is there is no area of our society where it doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
When my father went to prison about 20-some years ago, I was there with him mm-hmm. when he was offered a plea bargain, but we went into the courtroom. They double-crossed him mm-hmm. and changed it. Mm-hmm. I witnessed all that. I heard all that. I mean, that's a prime example of people that were doing something underhanded to assert their will and what they believed was true mm-hmm. on somebody who basically, you know, it wasn't the way it should have worked out. Mm-hmm. And so it does happen in every field. And my brother has told me many times that there are, a lot of times, there are really insecure little people who get
yes.
a really big badge.
Yes.
Or they get a little badge and they become really big people.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
And our character development is so much more important to God.
Yes. And that's, I guess, the important thing is when we go through these situations is to truly look at it as not saying that you don't stand up for yourself, but whatever is going on in the process. For instance, Matt's character development is way past his mama's because he says, pray for them. And I say, give me their names and one day I will get them.
Yeah, name and address, please.
But I've read a few little facts, not facts, but statements about how we should respond in these situations. And one of them is we shouldn't be aggressive, but assertive, which is very interesting.
Yeah, there's a stark difference between the two.
Absolutely. And so I think that's a good pointer for any parent or for anybody that's gone through it. Leave your aggression at the door, but take your assertiveness in.
Well, and we need to understand aggression is not just a physical thing.
Yes.
Because I think I can do it pretty well verbally.
Yes.
And so it can be verbal. It can be physical.
Absolutely.
Aggression can. But being aggressive can be the same, but measured. So it's not so damaging.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you mean assertive?
Yeah, what did I say?
Aggressive. He gets very confused. You know, there's slightly a low. Something's wrong.
Let's not use words with the same first letter.
The oxygen level in this room is like really diminishing as we get through this program. Another thing is don't ignore the problem, because I think when you ignore a problem, like you said, it just builds. Mm-hmm. There becomes more issues. There's no such thing as burying problems, mm-hmm. because sooner or later the mound gets bigger and bigger. don't ignore a bully. When you do that, you just fuel their power.
So let me just talk from direct, deep personal experience. Unresolved conflict will kill you from the inside out. Mm. Letting someone else bully you and then letting it fester over time will begin to affect every area of your life.
Absolutely.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually. It affects decisions. Early on in my life, I had to start dealing with unresolved conflicts. But what I would do in my mind is I would be resolving that conflict. So I'd be having conversations with people and they're not there. And I remember sitting in my car one day and my kids would laugh at me not too long ago. And I'd start talking out loud. And they'd go, "What are you saying, Dad?" I had to realize that that's unresolved conflict. And instead of actually dealing with it, I'm allowing it to fester. There are times when you just got to deal with the conflict.
Yeah.
There are also times I've learned more times than not that I need to step away, cool off, then deal with it.
Yeah, true.
And that's part of that character development. It's mm-hmm. part of maturing, but you can't have that unresolved conflict. And so there needs to be that appropriate way and time in order to say what you need to say to deal with whatever it is that's going on.
Yeah, it is. It's tough because a lot of people that are bullied are people that don't want conflict. So it's almost like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You have to do something. And ignoring the problem will not let it go away. All people are worthy of forgiveness. And know that, like you said, the empty truck theory, pray for that person. There's something missing in them. Of course, if you're a student, yes, they need to go for help. I so think it's important for us to train our kids, too, like Rachel's challenge, to be kind and compassionate. And I do think that that spreads. Did you ever see that commercial where somebody opens a door for somebody and next thing you know, somebody picks up a piece of paper, somebody drops their pencil, they pick it up, and it's paying it forward in
doing
kindness.
The right thing.
Yeah. And I've also seen situations in my own house where if there's turmoil and then an argument, and then you get an argument and you leave and then you take it out on somebody else, and then all of a sudden they're mad and they take it. So.
Yeah. Hurt people.
Yes.
So if somebody's hurting you, chances are they're probably hurting.
Absolutely. But I think that, I guess we'll get back to the beginning of this whole idea that we're going to legislate this through schools. I think if we get back to the basics of filled with character, and of course that the whole biblical basis years ago was follow the Ten Commandments, love your neighbor, do not steal, do not hurt people. But now they call it character education, and that's a good thing. Kids learn to be kind and and to show compassion and to let the bully feel like the outcast, to turn the tables on that and let that bully feel like an outcast. There is something that they say that over 200,000 students a day in our country are bullied, and that's a day in our country. That's all over. And then with that, many kids don't go to school because they're so afraid. They'll miss school days because they don't want to be bullied. And then with that, many documented cases for suicide over this bullying stuff. So you've got these tyrants running loose in this society where the family has broken down, so there's no mechanisms at home to teach things like the Ten Commandments, be kind, be compassionate, treat others like you want to be treated. And these loose tyrant kids that have no moral compass, filled with life with no boundaries, they go in and they literally run over other kids who are now taking their lives because they don't know how to cope with it. I think we need to get back to the basics, which is there is a God. There are some rules for our souls, and let's start acting on them in public situations and bring it into everything. Bring it into the boardroom. Bring it into, you'd think it would be in the church. Bring it into the church community. Bring it into the school community. Bring it into the playground, Listen, Jesus calls us to have a life of forgiveness and compassion. And so there are times when we need to turn the tables over like he did when he went into the temple and they were selling goods. There was a time when he said, this isn't going to happen. And he wasn't being a bully. And so we can't misinterpret sometimes our actions that are based on the righteousness of what is correct. And that sometimes with bullying means this is not going to happen here, folks.
Another analogy that Jesus used in one of his parables that I've often struggled with, but I think I gained a better understanding of, is he does say also, be kind to your enemies because you'll be heaping hot coals on their head. Well, I'm thinking, sure, I'll get the hot coals, buddy. I'll put them right on top of their head. But what that meant was this. If you were traveling or part of a community, a lot of times they had a fire in the center or somewhere around the center of all these tents. So let's, you can take it in context of those, the Israelites traveling. So your tribe would be together, and you'd have fire. Also in your community, a lot of times you'd have fire somewhere, and you would go and get hot stones out of there and take them back. That's how you had heat, and that's how you would cook. So if you were right next to the fire, you always had heat, you always had hot food. If you were blocks away, let's say, by the time you walked there, got it, and took it back, it probably wasn't quite as hot. And what he's saying there is, give them your hot coals. So you're giving up a hot meal, and you're giving up heat and comfort. I say that to say this, that is not a weak position.
Huh.
Weak people don't do that.
Right.
People of character and faith, people of depth do that. That's when, you know what, I'm going to be generous and kind, and I'm going to leave that out there. And by doing so, actually go on that, give up your comfort. And so that's a tough teaching, especially when somebody's hurting you.
Yes.
It's an important reminder for us that dealing with bullying, dealing with these issues, you really do need to have faith because it's big.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think if we can conclude with, there's times when we need to stand, and then there's times when we need to turn the other cheek and pray for the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely. And getting God's wisdom in it is paramount because he always leads us in the direction that's going to help us and help the situation, whether it's easy or not.
Yes.
And I don't like conflict.
Oh, I don't either.
But God's always led me through it, and now to learn more because of it.
I agree. Well, it's a worthy topic, especially for our kids, even for our own selves. And if you're in a bullying situation, really begin to pray for the person that's bullying you. And ask, like you said, the wisdom of God to know where to draw the line in the sand and where to say, nope, this will not happen.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you know what? I can have poor hot coals on them by taking this.
Yeah.
We trust that God will give the wisdom for that. Yeah. And we always end our show with Psalm 46:10. Which is, be still and know that I am God. And we hope that you can be still.
Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance.
Well, that's all the time we have today for our program, That Guy's Mom. Be sure and join us here next week as Andrea continues the story of That Guy's Mom, same time, same place, right here on Fresh Start Broadcasting.